Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Our coverage from Baltimore for Titans and Ravens, presented by Brentwood Hearing Center and by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Joined now, thanks to our buddy John Feinstein, by Gary Williams, legendary head coach, a Hall of Famer at the University of Maryland, head coach at Ohio State, Boston College, American University, 2002 national champion at Maryland, and Gary Williams on the phone with us right now. Coach, I'll start with this one. Why did Rick Barnes not stick around more than 1 year on your staff at Ohio State? He couldn't have done more work for you there. What happened with the now head coach of Tennessee?
He probably couldn't deal with another year with me. But what happened was Rick was an upcoming star in the business by then, 1986, I guess that was. He was with me, and he got the George Mason job in Northern Virginia. And, it was a head coaching job, and it was his first head coaching job. So he took that. You know, from there it was Providence, Clemson, Texas, and now at Tennessee. So he's had a great career.
What do you think about the job that he's done at Tennessee? Started out, you know, building his own system with his own players, sort of recruiting under-the-radar guys similar to what you did. And then, of course, what eventually happened at Tennessee the last couple of years, they've been very good.
Yeah, I think Rick, he's been around enough to know that he probably can do his best coaching job if he gets the type of guys that he feels comfortable with at practice every day and, you know, off the court with everything you have to do now as a basketball coach. And I think when he gets into that situation, they're really good. I think he went 17 straight years at Texas to the NCAA tournament. So I think that's the consistency that Rick tries to build into his program. And I think he's done that very quickly at Tennessee.
Is there a secret to drafting guys that maybe not everyone wants and developing them into really good players? You had that label as a head coach where you could go get overlooked guys and turn them into special players. Was that something you took great pride in?
I did, but you want to know he's right. I mean, recruiting is not 100% deal, because sometimes you recruit a guy and you think he's going to be a great player and it just doesn't work out. And other times you get a guy, you think, well, he'll help the program, but, you know, I don't know if he can carry us at all. And all of a sudden the guy turns out. Well, I had a player in 2002, Juan Dixon, who was National Player of the Year, MVP of the Final Four, and he was 6'2", 145 pounds in high school. The reason I recruited him was I just liked his effort. I thought he would help us be a really good team, but I didn't know he would be the all-time leading scorer in Maryland or anything like that. So you get lucky in recruiting sometimes, but at the same time, I did my best jobs when I had guys that really wanted to work hard, because I felt the same way as a coach. You know, I wasn't going to outwork everybody, but I felt I could work as hard as any other coach, and I needed players that felt the same way, because it's no fun coaching guys that don't go along with the program of what you're trying to achieve.
Former Maryland head coach Gary Williams, our guest on the Midday 180. Coach, what was your method to finding that player that had a bit of a chip on his shoulder? I think that comes across as a very easy aspect to find in recruiting, but I also think it can be difficult once they get and achieve some level of success to keep that mentality. What was your method to finding the player that possessed that for you?
Well, I think the key thing was I try to look at guys when we watch them recruiting, whatever, getting to know them and their family. You look at who's around them and see if they're hardworking people, if they have put that into their son. And then you can expect that when they come. In other words, it's not just a thing that they're satisfied to get a basketball scholarship. They want to get better. And I think that's when we were good, when we had guys that wanted to get better. They didn't think they were stars just because they got to college to play basketball, but they were willing to work, and they became stars because of their work ethic. And I always liked that part of coaching. Yeah, that's as much satisfaction as winning games, is watching players get better, and you know, the light goes on and they realize how good they can be. They realize their potential. But you're right. Unless you maintain that attitude of wanting to get better, maybe that chip on your shoulder, it's not going to happen. It just can't come from the coach. It has to be a two-way street.
Gary Williams, our guest on the Midday 180.
I wonder if you're like some of us that still are so put off by the conference change stuff. Maryland, to me, it's always an ACC thing. And to look and see, you mentioned your former school and a school you led to a national championship. When I see you paired with the Big Ten, I still feel like it's a typo.
Yeah, I understand. And a lot of Maryland people have felt that way, and probably some still feel that way. But the problem was in around 2014, we were in, the athletic department was in a great deal of debt, and the ACC was changing. In other words, they had taken the Big East football schools and put them in the ACC, like Louisville, Syracuse, Virginia Tech. And so we weren't going to play. The biggest thing with our fans were the games with North Carolina and Duke. They were classic. They were great. You know, once we got good enough, it became a good rivalry with those two schools. But we wouldn't have played both of those teams twice a year anymore, given the makeup of the ACC. So they changed, too. It wasn't just Maryland going to the Big Ten. But we needed, you know, financially, we needed the kick that we got back then from the Big Ten network and things that the Big Ten has. Plus, academically, the people on campus were really excited about it, because you go into a consortium with all the Big Ten schools, and that includes the University of Chicago, which was an original founder of the Big Ten. And so there was a lot of pluses there. Obviously, fans, you know, they missed the rivalry, but really it was Carolina and Duke. There's no doubt about it.
Coach Gary Williams with us. To tie in a basketball reference here, as we discuss a little Ravens here, it looks like at times the weave, the figure eight with this Ravens offense. I know you're friends with Steve Bisciotti and that you'll be in attendance tomorrow night. Give us the scouting report back in Nashville for this Ravens offense that you've watched all year.
I can't give away any secrets. you know, it's really interesting. It happened halfway through last year. Joe Flacco had won a Super Bowl for the Ravens. He was a consistent quarterback. And they made a decision. The Ravens made a decision to go with Lamar Jackson, which was, at that time, really controversial in a lot of people's minds. You know, not sure if it was the right way to go, because he wasn't a great passer. But that was the knock, you know, for an NFL quarterback. But what he showed last year was he's just different when he runs the ball. I always felt that just watching him, if he wasn't a quarterback and a running back, he might be leading the NFL in yardage gained as a running back right now. I mean, he's that good. He's probably got the quickest step from a standing still position of anybody I've seen play in the NFL in a long time. You know, it might be like Barry Sanders or somebody like that. And it's just amazing to watch him play. And what he did in the offseason, he became a better passer. They worked with him, obviously, but he put the work in, and now he can throw. I mean, he is not just a running quarterback. He can really throw, and that's what makes him so tough, because when he runs that run-pass option, you have to respect his passing ability, and I think that's what opens it up for the Ravens running backs to be so successful this year.
So, Coach, I grew up watching you coach your Maryland teams, and the first thing that comes to mind when I think about you on the sideline is sweat. You were a hardcore disciplinarian. Yeah, absolutely. And I ask that because you're not the only intense guy coaching a sport or coaching basketball,
right?
And certainly that era, that was the case. But was that something that was used against you in recruiting, where coaches that were maybe seen as more player-friendly saying, well, look at this guy and how into it he is on the sideline, and how he's going after his players. Do you really want to go play for that? Was that ever an issue that you dealt with in terms of recruiting players because of your sideline demeanor and how intense you were?
Probably. You know, there's a lot of negative recruiting out there. You find something about another school or coach that you can use to coaches feel that helps their recruiting. You know, that's kind of sad when you think about it, that you can't just sell your school or your program or the way you coach, but that's the way it is, you know, in power conference football and basketball. But, you know, once I got to know the family and the kid, we were okay, because what people didn't see was the time you spend in the office individually with a player just talking about everything, not just basketball. And, you know, once they trust you, you can get away with saying some things that you might, you know, as a coach, I regretted saying some things I said. But at the same time, the players knew I had their back, and that's the key thing. You know, there's some phonies out there that you know, clap all the time when something bad happens on the court, and then they don't even see the players off the court, or they don't spend any time with them. They're out recruiting the next class and things like that. So, you know, we were okay the way it worked. And I sweated a lot, and I was tough on players, but at the same time, I was trying to make those guys get better. And I think as long as players understand that, and that understanding comes from most of the time off the court when you spend a great deal of time with them, we were okay. You know, we were fine. And, you know, we were a tough team. In other words, I think if you described our teams, we were tough to play against because of our effort that we made when we played.
Coach, this has been a real treat for us. Thank you so much for joining the show on the one day that we're up here in Baltimore to give us a feel for the state of Maryland and, of course, talk about your legendary career. Thank you so much for the visit. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Will John Feinstein send me a part of his check for this?
He's supposed to be listening on the podcast right now, so maybe he'll give you a review of your visit with us.
Maybe we'll send you part of his check.
Yeah, we'll do that, yes.
Yeah, I'll wait for that, too, you know.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.